Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, today is a special day. May not have thought about it. It may not be on your calendar, but today is Equal Pay Day. And another year and another 23-cent wage gap for women and their families. In 1963, Congress passed the Equal Pay Act, which requires employers to give men and women employees equal pay for equal work. 1 year later, in 1964, the Civil Rights Act was passed. That act bars all discrimination in employment, including discrimination in hiring, firing, promotion, and wages on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And those laws have made a difference. But it certainly hasn't completed the job. And there are a few other laws that have helped to kind of increase that ability to have equal pay for equal work. But you may have heard in the news lately that there are also some Congress people who are trying to do away with that law. So, you know, how important is that? You say, well, you know, you may have the opinion that women shouldn't earn as much as men, and that's your right to have that opinion, but think about what that means, because it's not just a women's issue, it is a family issue. Families increasingly rely on women's wages to make ends meet. In typical married households, women's incomes accounted for 36% of the total income in that family. And a large majority of mothers are in the paid labor force. In Iowa, in fact, Iowa has the highest percentage of women with school-aged children in the workforce than any other state. But here's a really important figure, that one-third of employed mothers are the sole breadwinners for families. So for 34% of working mothers who are the family's sole breadwinner, either because they are single parents or their spouses are not in the labor force, the gender pay gap can contribute to poor living conditions, poor nutrition, fewer opportunities for children. And so it's not just women shouldn't earn as much. It is a matter of necessity. And, you know, it also relates to the economy that we talk about in our country so much right now. So pay differences are important. It certainly has improved since those laws were passed. I said in 1970, women were paid 59% as much as men. And in 2010, the difference was 77%, so the gap was 23%. So women were earning 77% of what men earn. Now, there are comparisons made in terms of that work, because there are lots of things that were looked at when these figures come about. Critics charge that pay differences between men and women are simply a matter of personal choices. So there have been some studies made about that. And some of those studies were done by AAUW, American Association of University Women, and analyzed earnings data for female and male college graduates 1 year and 10 years after graduation. 1 year after college graduation, women earned only 80% of what their male counterparts did. And 10 years, women had fallen further behind, earning only 69% of what men earned. And in part, these pay gaps do reflect men's and women's choices, especially for the choice of college major and the type of job pursued after graduation. For example, more women are more likely than men to go into teaching. And this contributes to the pay gap because teachers tend to earn less than other college graduates. This portion of the pay gap is considered to be explained regardless of whether teachers' wages are considered fair. That's a whole nother argument. Yet not all gaps should be explained away. After accounting for college major, occupation, industry, sector, hours worked, workplace flexibility, experience, educational attainment, enrollment status, GPA, institution selectivity, age, race, ethnicity, region, marital status, and number of children. I mean, all of these were considered in this study. Then there was a 5% difference in the earnings of male and female college graduates 1 year after graduation. So, you know, what's the reason for that? A similar analysis is of full-time workers 10 years after college graduation found a 12% unexplained difference in earnings. And other researchers have also found that the gender pay gap is not fully accounted for by women's and men's choices. Becoming a parent is an example of a choice that often has different outcomes for men and women. In AAUW's analysis showing that 10 years after graduation, 23% of mothers in our sample were out of the workforce and 17% worked part-time. Among fathers, only 1% were out of the workforce and 2% worked part-time. Much difference in the percentage, so there's a choice. Many stay-at-home and part-time working mothers will eventually decide to return to the full-time workforce, and when they do, they encounter what can be called motherhood penalty that extends beyond the actual time out of the workforce. Experimental research has documented that employers are less likely to hire mothers compared with childless women, and when employers do make an offer to a mother, they offer them lower salaries than they do other women. Fathers, in contrast, do not suffer a penalty compared with other men. Clearly, parenthood often affects men and women very differently in terms of labor force participation and how they are viewed by employers, and that difference is often reflected in the worker's salary. What about age? Does that make a difference in terms of the difference between men and women? Well, it's, to me, kind of interesting that earnings for both female and male full-time workers tend to increase with age, with the plateau after 45 and a drop at age 65. The gender pay gap grows with age, and differences among older workers are considerably larger than gaps among younger workers. So the comparison is done like 16 to 19 years age. The pay gap is very small, only 5%. And 20 to 24, hey, it's only 6%. 25 to 34, it goes up to 9%. And 35 to 44, those probably prime working years, is 20%. So it jumps from 9 to 20. And then when workers, I think, are probably at their very prime, 45 to 54 years age, that's when it starts, the difference starts becoming greater. That's where it's at right now. 23% is the difference. And then after that, it starts getting more so as people age. So interesting to me comparisons about age and also about the, you know, motherhood and how that affects salaries. And what about in different kinds of jobs? In nearly every line of work, women face a pay gap. Among the many occupations for which the Bureau of Labor Statistics collects data that allow for valid comparison, women's earnings are higher than men's in only a handful. Women's earners are higher than men in only a handful. While a pay gap exists in nearly every occupational field, jobs traditionally associated with men tend to pay better than traditionally female jobs for the same level of skill required. And even in 2012, women and men still tend to work in different kinds of jobs. So the segregation of occupations is a major factor behind the pay gap. So that kind of goes back to some of the choices that people make. Well, what about Iowa? Where does Iowa stand in this whole pay gap thing? Well, actually, Washington, D.C. is the best with the least pay gap. And Wyoming is at the bottom of the stack with the biggest pay difference. And the pay difference there, 64% is the pay difference. So Iowa's kind of in the middle, along with many other states, at 79%. So in Iowa, men typically, this is averages, earn $42,250 a year, and women for the same kind of work or across the board average earn $33,000. So difference there, 42,000, 33,000. So there's, like I say, Iowa's sort of in the middle of the pack. Well, pay gap, again, why does it make a difference? Why should we even be talking about it? Because women's work affects families, affects all of us, not just the women themselves. So until next time, let's think about what women's work does in our homes and in our workplace.